welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, January 25th, and we are continuing our journey in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 20, through the end of the chapter. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light where you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And now we turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 44. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a Maskil. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in the days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my king and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Selah. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep, and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing from their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. My disgrace is before me all day long, and my face is covered with shame. At the taunts of those who reproach and revile me, because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. All this happened to us, though we had not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals and covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it? Since he knows the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us, redeem us because of your unfailing love. And as is our daily rhythm, now we turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 39. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his entire armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say? And where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord." and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, there will be peace and security in my lifetime. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I don't know about you guys, but I was remembering the story from 2 Kings about Hezekiah, and I just did not want him to show those envoys all of his things. I knew what was coming. I knew the prophecy of the Lord that all of his people and all of his possessions would one day be carried away to Babylon. And it was interesting, wasn't it, how he responded? He's like, oh, it's okay. Not in my lifetime. Oh goodness, we are a fickle people, aren't we? But I really want us to think back to John. Today we read about the equivalent in John of the time in Gethsemane. And verse 27 is interesting. Now my heart is troubled, Jesus says, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That's very similar, isn't it, to take this cup from me. But you can almost see the wrestling here. He says, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now, some people might say, now that's a discrepancy with the other gospels that said, if you're willing, take this cup from me. But I think it's just a wrestling within the heart, isn't it? Oftentimes we pray, Lord, take me out of this situation. And then we say, no, Lord, I know you have brought me here for a purpose. Help me in the midst of what you have for me. And so the question is, where are you today that you know the Lord has brought you and he has called you there for a reason? And how can you glorify him in the midst? Would you pray with me? Father, we know that you have brought us into this certain time and certain place so that you might be glorified through us. Help us, Lord, to be a people who willingly glorify you by the ways that we act and think. Father, we pray for those in our midst who are suffering and are sick, those who are lonely, and those who cannot even go and get their own groceries or take a ride around town for fear of contracting the virus. We also pray for all of our mission partners, especially those who are here in the United States who would like to go back to the foreign lands which they were living in before coronavirus, where they were serving and ministering. We pray, Lord, for your hand upon them, that you would give them wisdom and help them to see the ways they can glorify you here in the United States and give them wisdom about when and how to get back to where they were serving before. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.